The Churches of Christ bring you Truth for the World. And now, Jim Dearman.
The wise man of old wrote in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 2, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to be born and a time to die. I realize that one day I am going to die. And I'm sure that you realize that as well. In Hebrews 9:27, the writer declared, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. The psalmist, in Psalm 89 and verse 48, asks a question that is really a rhetorical question. That is, the answer is already clearly seen. He asks, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? And then he goes on to ask, shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? To ask is to answer. There's not a man that's living that shall not see death. There's not a man alive who will be able to deliver his soul from the grave or from the hand of the grave. We are all going to die. One day, I will have seen my last scene. One day I will have breathed my last breath and taken my last steps, and I'll be buried. It will come. Body shall return to the dust of the ground, and the soul unto God who gave it. Again, the wise man of old made that declaration. The thing about it is, I don't know when that day will be. David, long ago in 1 Samuel 23, said, there is but a step between me and death. Think about that. As to what it says about the frailty of life, there is but a step between me and death. You know, I didn't have to prepare for my birth, but I do have to prepare for my death. Paul declared in 2 Corinthians 5:10 that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of the things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. I have got to be ready. Ready for the day of my death. And as I think about that, I hope that the day of my death doesn't find me with hatred in my heart. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12, the writer declared that hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sin. Hatred is mentioned among the works of the flesh by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5 and verse 20. And he says, those who are involved in these works of the flesh, of which hatred is included, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so I hope that the day of my death does not find me with hatred in my heart. Hatred proceeds from a heart that is not pure. And Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But you know, beyond that, I hope that the day of my death doesn't overtake me in wickedness. Have you heard of people who actually died in the commission of sinful acts, that is, being involved in sin when death overtook them? What a terrible thing that would be. And as I think about the day of my death, I hope that that day does not find me involved in sin. The psalmist declared in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, all nations that find themselves in rebellion against God. I don't want to be an individual who in the day of his death is found in rebellion to God. Because the Bible tells me that I am to turn from that rebellion. The Bible tells me that I am to turn from that wickedness and that I am to live my life in obedience to the will of God. Titus 2, beginning with verse 11, there the grace of God that bringeth salvation the writer says, has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Think about it. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, and it came teaching us something. It came teaching us that denying ungodliness, denying worldly lust, we ought to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. So I hope the day of my death doesn't find me involved in sin and sinful acts. I also hope the day of my death does not find me adding to God's Word. What a tragedy that would be. Proverbs 30, verse 6, the writer said, "Add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." We're not to add to the Word of God, neither are we to diminish aught from it. Deuteronomy 4, 2, and in the last book of the New Testament, there, John, the inspired writer, issues a warning in Revelation 22, 18. "For I testify," he says, "unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." I hope the day of my death does not find me adding to God's Word. I only want to know what it says. And only that. I also hope that the day of my death does not catch me with a lie on my tongue. You know, lying is of the devil, John 8:44. And lying, of course, takes many forms. It may take the form of simply misleading. It may take the form of gossip. It may take the form of slander. It may take the form of being a false witness in a matter. And in Ephesians 4 and verse 25, we're admonished by the inspired writer Paul, "Wherefore, putting away all lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." Put it away, he says. Certainly, I do not want the day of my death to find me with a lie on my tongue. When I die, I want to know, to the best of my knowledge, that I have dealt truthfully with every man. I also hope that the day of my death does not overtake me with an unforgiving spirit. Jesus had so much to say about being forgiving. He gave a very powerful parable about an unforgiving servant in Matthew the 18th chapter, beginning with verse 23. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him." Now notice the application, verse 35. "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. If thy brother sin against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him." Luke 17:3. I hope the day of my death doesn't find me with an unforgiving spirit. Paul said, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." I hope the day of my death doesn't find me with an unforgiving spirit. But I also hope the day of my death doesn't find me with any wrongs that I have done still unsettled. What about you? I'd like to know that I am living at peace with my brethren and with my fellow man on the day of my death. In Matthew 5, beginning with verse 23, Jesus said, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." We're admonished to live as much as possible with peace, in peace with all men. Certainly, I hope the day of my death finds me in a situation where I've tried to right my wrongs. And certainly, I hope the day of my death does not catch me with unforgiven sins. The writer of Proverbs, in Proverbs 28:13, said, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." He that covereth his sins, that is, tries to hide them, shall not prosper. And the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 4:13, reminds us that God sees everything. He says in that verse, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." God sees all. God knows all. But God, in His mercy, has told me that if I will render obedience to the gospel of His Son through belief, repentance, confession, baptism into Christ, and that if I am raised to walk in new life, and I continue to walk that new life, walking in the light, obediently, confessing my sins when I fall short, and moving toward heaven according to the will of God, then I shouldn't be caught with unforgiven sins. Because the formula that is given is, walk in the light and confess those wrongs. Pray without ceasing. Have a prayerful spirit, a prayerful heart, and live in the right way. And then I will know that the day of my death will not find me with unforgiven sins. Well, I've said a great deal about how I hope the day of my death does not find me, but how would I want the day of my death to find me? I, first of all, would want the day of my death to find me with a heart filled with love. I'm reminded of passages in which inspired writers admonish us to increase our love, to abound in it yet more and more. Think of all those superlatives. Increase and abound in love, that your love may abound yet more and more, Paul said on one occasion to his brethren. We're to grow in our love, biblically based love. Love that is truly the love of Christ. But you see, that love is tied to doing the will of God, isn't it? And so that's the next thing I would say, is that I would hope that the day of my death will find me doing His commandments out of a heart filled with love. That's the proper combination. You see, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And so if my heart is filled with love, I'll desire to keep His commandments. Love doesn't lead us away from the commandments. Love leads us into the commandments of God, Christ. That's what Jesus said. And I hope the day of my death finds me with a heart overflowing with love that leads me to keep His commandments. But you know, there's something else. I hope the day of my death finds me with only what I need to live. Now, you may say, well, that's strange. Why wouldn't you want to be among the wealthiest people in the world? Wouldn't you want that great wealth? No. But by the same token, I don't want to be extremely poor. Think about these words as they were uttered by the writer of Proverbs, in Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9. Here's what he said. "Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me." That is what I need. lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. The writer there says, don't give me too much, but don't give me too little. Because too much or too little can be dangerous. And so I hope the day of my death finds me with just what I need to live. But I also hope that the day of my death finds me giving as I should. Not only of my means to the Lord financially, but giving of my talents, giving of my time, giving of my energies to the Lord. I hope the day of my death finds me in that situation, giving as I ought to give, laying up the treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth consume. I also hope the day of my death finds me faithful. I hope that I'll be able to say, as did the Apostle Paul, I've fought a good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. I want to be faithful, considered a faithful steward of all that I have, a faithful servant, diligent and dependable on the day of my death. There's something else that I would like to know would be the case on the day of my death. I would like the day of my death to find me tired. Yes, tired. Just worn out. Tired, not from secular endeavors, but from spiritual endeavors. I knew a faithful elder in the Lord's church who has since passed away who often prayed, Lord, wear us out in thy service. Wear us out in thy service. That's a marvelous expression, is wear us out in thy service, then take us home. I want to be tired on the day of my death. Tired, that is, because of labors for the Lord. In Hebrews 4:11. The Hebrew writer there says, let us therefore labor to enter into his rest. Now that verse doesn't read, let us rest to enter into the rest. It says, let us labor to enter into the rest. The rest comes later after the labor. And it ought to be a labor of love, a willing labor. That's what the Lord desires. That's what he wants. Not something that seems grievous or burdensome to us, for in 1 John 5, John says that his commandments are not grievous. They're not grievous. They're not burdensome. Why not, John? Because we love doing them. Why? Because we love him. Because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19. And therefore, laboring for the Lord may wear us out, but we'll be tired and happy when he comes again, or on the day of our death. And the final point is, on the day of my death, I want to be prepared and ready. I want to know that I've done what is necessary to be prepared. I want to know that I truly have believed, allowed that belief to cause me to repent of my sins, confess Christ, and be baptized for the remission of sins. I know now that I've done those things. And I also know that that's what the New Testament of our Lord says must be done in order to be forgiven for past sins. I know the world teaches a variety of doctrines. But should we not just simply accept what the New Testament clearly teaches us? Believe, Jesus said. Except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins, John 8:24. Repent, Jesus said, or perish, Luke 13:3. Confess, Jesus said. Confess me to be the Christ. And I'll confess you before the Father in heaven, Matthew 10:32-33. And then be baptized, Jesus said, buried in water where my blood reaches you to cleanse you from all sin, Mark 16:16, and many other passages. And then we're added to his church, of which we may read in the New Testament, the pattern for which is clearly seen. And as I follow that pattern as a part of that church, that kingdom, then I know I'm constantly prepared, that I am ready. Because if I'm not ready, I'm lost. The expression was made by Balaam in Numbers 23:10 long ago. Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. To die the death of the righteous, I must do that which is right. That which is right according to the New Testament of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Till next time, I'm Jim Dearman with Truth for the World.